welcome to the Starsology Astrology Podcast. I am your host, Alison Price, and this time I'm here with my good friend, Sequinda Gaddy, who has a astrology group here in the city of Vancouver.
Thank you, Alison, for inviting me to your show. It's a pleasure to come.
Oh, it's so great to have you. I mean, we've known each other, what, 10 years, 12 years?
I think so. It seems like ages.
It seems like forever, ever since I've been in Vancouver, which is actually now, 12 years, actually.
Jupiter so return.
So we go back a long way. And just for our listeners, you have created an astrology group, which meets, I believe, once a month. Is that correct?
That is correct. We meet on the first Friday of each month.
Okay.
7:30. Currently, our medium of meeting is via Zoom. We are aiming to get a hybrid meeting going on in person as well as via Zoom, but it has been quite challenging to find our forever home.
Right.
And right now, I've been looking on and off, and there's been a couple of hiccups, what with COVID, that everybody can relate to.
Yeah, because before COVID, we used to meet in person once a month, and I was always there, and it was always a fun thing, and you get to meet people, have a cup of tea and whatnot.
Exactly.
But COVID changed everything.
Oh, yes, we're living in a brand new world.
Yeah. So what is the name of your astrology group?
The Astrologer's Den.
So it's the Astrologer's Den, and we can find that online at
www.astrologersden.com.
Okay, perfect. And so you meet, you said, what was it, the first Friday?
Yes, the first Friday of each month.
Okay, and so if somebody would like to join your Zoom group, how would they go about this?
They could visit our website. Again, it's www.astrologersden.com.
Yes.
And they could join as a guest and or support us via membership.
Okay.
We offer 10 monthly meetings in a year. We also have a mundane astrology group that meets up on the third Wednesday of each month.
So just for our listeners who don't know, could you tell us what mundane astrology is all about?
Mundane astrology is the astrology of looking at world events through the lens of astrology.
Okay, so things like countries and politics, and do you follow the elections and things?
Elections as well, yes. In fact, one of our first meetings that the Astrologer's Den did host was a roundtable meeting about the election on November 4th in 2016.
Okay, the U.S. election.
The U.S. election.
Okay.
That was a big one then.
And do we have one this year? I seem to think we do. Do we not in 2024?
We do. We do have another U.S. election. And this one, similar to 2016, which was known as the big eclipse.
Yes.
2024 is also known as another big eclipse that crosses, that intersects that first eclipse of 2016.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that a solar eclipse going across the states? Well, you're ahead of the game on this one. All right. And I understand that the actual... just so we're going down this road, that the actual election is early in November when Pluto is at a last gasp and it only goes into Aquarius like the next week?
November 16th, I believe.
Yeah.
It situates itself into, oh my gosh, world event, Aquarius.
Aquarius. So could we anticipate then during 2024 that you will have a couple of meetings about the politics, the mundane that may interest people?
Oh, yes, of course.
Mm. And do you only look at U.S. elections, or are you looking at all sorts of things?
We're looking at all sorts of things.
Okay.
Local as well as the Canadian politics as well, across federal as well as provincial.
I see.
Yes.
And so, sorry, let me get this straight. So does the mundane meeting occur independently of the Friday meeting?
It does.
Oh, I see. So when is that?
It's the third Wednesday of each month.
Oh.
And we're meeting again online.
On Zoom, yeah.
Yes, and these are for people, our members that are interested. So again, you could join us for one meeting, which would be a drop-in guest fee.
Yes.
Or you would be able to join. It comes inclusive in the membership.
Oh, I see. So that's great. So if you're a membership, you can get to all the meetings.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I didn't even know that you did that, so that's interesting. Whereas then on your Friday meetings, is that kind of general astrology where you perhaps have speakers talking about all sorts of things?
Yes, we mostly focus on Western astrology.
Right.
And,
yes, me too.
And all its interesting branches of.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And so we have, 10 monthly meetings each month.
Right.
And our year runs from like the school year from September to about June.
Okay.
And we take 2 months off for the summer.
Okay. So could you give us an idea perhaps what the topic would be then in February?
Next month we'll be having Tracy Quillen, and she will be presenting on Saturn, his epic returns and other bedtime stories.
Oh, fantastic. So Tracy is a Canadian astrologer.
She is. She's known from the Edmonton Astrologers area.
Fantastic. Yes.
Wonderful.
So that would be great. So then this is talking about Saturn, and you have different guests coming on talking about other things.
Other things.
And you've got the mundane running on Wednesday. Interesting. Yes.
I would like to, in the future, because I know people would like to meet and just sit round table.
Yes.
I would like to start like a coffee shop, kind of coffee and astrology.
But sounds good.
I'm still looking at locations. I've got a couple, so 2024. That's something promising.
That sounds wonderful. And hopefully that would be on a Monday or a Tuesday, which would kind of suit me a little better.
Yes.
But I think the thing is, too, for those of people who are listening who don't know Vancouver at all, it's actually quite a sprawling area, the Vancouver metropolitan area. And you live kind of, what, 50 kilometers from here sort of thing? And we've used to meet way down in
New Westminster,
which is like, dang.
All the way at the other.
So it is spread, and that was central because people were still coming from further south,
from Surrey
and White Rock and whatnot.
Yes.
So this is the thing with finding a venue, isn't it? It's not going to necessarily be in the city. It's going to be somewhere in the suburbs, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so Quinta, this all sounds so interesting. So could I ask what type of people are coming to join your group? Is it a place for beginners, or what would... How would you say?
I would definitely say that our membership is made up of a lot of beginners to intermediate. So we have a wide range. And
yes.
A lot of our memberships like to mentor as well. So
right.
We do welcome an open forum where people like to try out their astrology skills. And that's what the mundane astrology. I want to say mundane roundtable because we do a bit of both.
But in general, it's beginners are welcome to, and they're going to be able to follow along. So if they signed up for your Zoom, they're going to, when she presents or whoever's Friday on February, March and April, they're going to be able to follow along. You're not doing super advanced.
It's approachable. Very approachable astrology.
I know it's very friendly. Your group. Yeah. I always consider your group to be the Libra astrology group in Vancouver.
We love to socialize, we love to talk, and we love to
welcome
communicate and welcome everybody.
That is fantastic.
It's a sacred space to explore our passions of astrology.
Right. And do you generally talk to only about astrology, or do you go into other new age topics like numerology or teacup leaf reading, or is it mainly astrology?
We've actually surprisingly in the past have a numerologist on the show as well.
Okay.
Yes, Norma. And
yeah.
We did do like some starseed astrology as well.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so this
is
great.
So it has branched off a little bit besides astrology, but we always kind of keep it the same.
It's the core topic, yeah. Well, this is how I know you from, right?
Yes.
It's core topic astrology. So I can imagine that running an astrology group it's not something everybody does. And I'm just wondering, could you explain to us perhaps a little bit about why you decided to create the group? Because this is how you're expressing your astrology in your life. You're known as the lady who does the astrologer's den, and you are building community there. And could you tell us a little bit about the evolution of the group?
So I felt an urge to build the astrologer's den to create a sacred space for where people could learn astrology and grow from it. I felt a drive to where they could freely express and practice the scientific art.
All right. And I understand that when you began this group a few years ago, You have a launch chart for this, a start chart effectively for the group?
The creation of the Astrologer's Den was a process for me. The seed was planted in late September.
What year was this?
This was 2016. It was with the Jupiter-Sun conjunction.
Okay.
Yes, in the 11th house, so with Venus rising. And the actual creation of it would have been on my solar return. I was kind of saying, what do I want to do now? It's like it was a whole new pathway open, and where do I want my astrology to go?
Okay.
And so on that solar return, it was like I decided to establish the group. And I think it was like really quick. It was like within seeding to planting and to actually seeing the new first meeting on November 4th, it was literally within 2 months that I was able to create and run the Astrologer's Den.
So do you have a launch chart then that for your group?
I do.
Okay, could you tell us a bit about it? What's the ascendant there?
The ascendant is 5 Scorpio.
Okay.
With Venus rising at 2 degrees of Scorpio.
Nice.
And we've got a Leo ascendant with the moon at 1 degrees of Leo. We've got a Leo midheaven with the moon at 0 degrees of Leo.
Very nice. Now, does this launch chart hook into your natal chart in some way?
It does, because the Leo midheaven is my rising sign.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Well, it's a good rising sign to have.
I love my Leo ascendant.
Go raw, yes.
Yes.
Okay, so, and then the chart is, it's to... Start charts, for those who don't know, when you have an entity like a business or a group, or in this case the group, you would have a launch chart when you officially launch your chart or your business or what have you. And astrologically, it's always nice to choose a good chart that fits with the person who's running the show. You don't want to be picking signs that you've got no relationship to. There's just no point, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the launch chart, the Jupiter-Sun conjunction is on my Mercury in my natal chart.
Fantastic. So growth has occurred since those. Was it really 2016? Is it that long ago?
So long ago. Yes.
My goodness, this has been going a long time now.
Yes.
No, this is great.
You don't realize how the years go by because, like, you know, you're just one meeting at a time and you take it there and all of a sudden you look back, it's like, 2016, really? It's been
really
that long.
Because I remember when you were chatting about starting this group, and I thought, oh, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not for everybody. And then could we consider then your natal chart? Do you have planets in your 11th house that are driving this group dynamic?
I don't have planets per se, but I do have a Gemini 11th house.
Okay.
And again, that Mercury does rule.
Yes. Okay, so this is what's... where your focus has gone astrologically.
Yes.
Because what I always find interesting is that although astrologers in general learn astrology, can do a chart, this and that, frequently each astrologer goes down a different road with their astrology. They maybe become, like you opened a group and I'm doing a podcast or whatever, and, you know, Toby does teaching and stuff like this, and Norma's doing something entirely different. These are people we know, but not all astrologers are just doing charts. They're taking the knowledge of astrology and bringing it to bear on a different area to work through astrology like you are doing through this group.
I like to support and facilitate astrology in our community.
Right.
I feel like that it's my passion.
Right.
And I found a lot of friendships along this road.
Yes.
Like, you know, whether it's here, whether it's at conferences that we explore and gain, it's a whole new world that's opened up for me.
And this is it, because for you now, the group is how you're expressing your astrology. And this is what I find interesting, that everybody can take astrology and add it to perhaps something they already know, or and build on and layer it onto other things they know in their lives. Because most people come to astrology generally when they've got a bit of experience on other things anyway, and it can be applied to psychology and art and all the rest of it.
Right. You could hear astrology and where doctors actually apply to psychology, where they're applying it to their patients and looking at the time of birth and seeing what is going on in their natal chart.
Yeah.
Or they could apply it if you have a tarot business and you want to go deeper.
Exactly.
You could make your tarot a whole lot more interesting with applying astrology.
Yeah.
Some people are just doing new moon astrology, where you're taking the new moons and exploring through that. So there's many, many branches of astrology and many viable tools that we have in our toolbox.
Yes.
And it just doesn't have to be the one-all that you have to do. You know, there's so many variants that you could utilize, where I find that in other trades or other arts or sciences, you don't have that opportunity or that resource.
That's right. It's like, I see it as though astrology is a skill that if you have it, you don't have to be an astrologer, but you can apply it to virtually everything you're doing. Even if you've got a job at a desk and you know that the guy next to you is a Scorpio and this guy's a Libra, you can manage them better.
Yes.
It's such an interesting way to have insight into people. And I think it's wonderful.
self-growth in businesses. Like, you know, people are doing corporate astrology. They're, like I say, the branches of astrology and the uses of astrology throughout the ages past as well have been, what do I want to say, vast and enormous.
It's great that you're doing this group. I'm happy to know you as the group facilitator here in Vancouver. I mean, it's my city, right? So, Sukhwinder, I see you have an astro calendar here. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So I've created this look-ahead astro calendar to look at the ingresses, the lunations, what the planetary motions are, and the aspects that are going to be happening in the upcoming year.
Okay.
And sometimes we like to, as astrologers, follow along or just highlight which sensitive degrees are coming up, especially for the eclipses, mm-hmm. and especially for the retrograde. I know everybody's heard about Mercury retrograde, and yes. everybody's heard about their horoscopes. So for your listeners, I would like to offer it as a gift.
Okay, lovely. So Sukhwinder, where can our listeners email you for this?
They could email me at astrologerden@gmail.com.
Fantastic. And I will put a link to your website and a link to this email address for those listeners who wish to pick up the look ahead, and you'll send it to them as a PDF, yeah?
Yes, thank you so much.
Yes, of course. Okay, lovely. So, Sukhwinder, could you tell us a little bit about how you got into astrology?
Interesting story, Alison. So, it was my cousin's wedding. I can't even remember the year. It's been so long.
Right.
Her in-laws actually consulted a Vedic astrologer, and they looked at both her and the groom's chart. And they had some recommendations which they suggested. And surprisingly enough, it was when she got sick, which was one of the recommendations, that it came true. And that kind of really piqued my interest. And I looked through the newspapers at that time to see if there was any local astrologers groups. And fortunately, there was one. And attended the first meeting in January of that year. And I've never looked back. I created awesome friends, and that is the beginning of the astrology journey for myself.
Wow. So it was just, you just happened across it and went down the road. Once you started.
Yes.
This is the thing with astrology. It either like hooks you in.
Yeah.
Or it passes you by. There doesn't seem to be an in-between.
And I just jumped in with both feet, immersing myself. Like, you know, as to those beginners out there that
yes.
don't recognize the signs or anything, my advice is just attend and immerse yourself in all things astrology.
Yes.
And those things that interest you as well.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, once you're in that circle and you're learning and you're interested and you're following, you just get more deeper and deeper yeah. into the learning aspect.
That's right. It can be overwhelming to start with, especially with the glyphs and this and that. There's a yes. million things to know.
Exactly.
But I think keep going is a very good piece of advice there.
Yes. And yeah. Having friendships and companions along your journey as well. I did yeah. my first class, got to know all of them, and we continued on. My second class level was with a different teacher. So
okay.
you don't have to stick with the same teacher to do
no,
all the levels.
Absolutely.
Because you get different views as well. And again, the third level was with a different teacher.
Fantastic. Fantastic. No, it's great.
But it's just, I find that everyone's road to astrology is different.
It is.
And it's just
yeah.
embracing.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And when you are on your road, could you, talking to our new astrologers out there, which one book would you recommend that if they were going to buy one astrology book? I know it's a tricky question.
That's very tricky.
What would you recommend to a solid beginner astrology book, do you think?
There is a Sue Tompkins book that I really did learn off of. You caught me off guard. I don't know the name.
The Complete Astrologer's Guide or something.
Yes. Exactly.
I know. That's the one I recommend.
And then there's this other one that I got. Like, it's a thick, small book, and it's like a reference book. That was one that I learned from as well.
Okay.
And that one I have there. And, of course, The Ephemeris is
yes.
one of the go-to.
Exactly. You know you're into astrology when you buy your first ephemeris. I agree.
And when your ephemeris is ear-torn and you have to go through so many because you're going through it, like, you know, night after night. To
yeah.
see
it's bedtime coming. Reading, right?
Yes. A good glass of wine.
There you go. So interesting, Sukhwinder. And perhaps you could tell us a little bit about your chart, the ascendant sun moon.
Okay. Like I mentioned, I've got Leo rising with sun in Libra and the moon in Aquarius. The sun rules my Leo ascendant. and which can and the sun can be found in the third house of Libra.
Mm-hmm.
And most of my planets are through the signs of Virgo through Scorpio on the bottom half.
Fantastic.
Of my chart. My sun, Mercury, and Uranus from the third house is actually trining my Aquarius moon.
Fantastic.
From the seventh, which is angular.
Super
and I
interesting.
Do have good old Saturn at the top of the chart.
There you go. There you go.
In
keeping you on the straight and narrow.
Keeping me on the straight and narrow.
Let's talk a little bit about your birth time, because this was an interesting thing that cropped up. Perhaps you could share that with us.
Can you believe my mom did not remember my date of birth? She still says that I'm born in 1971, but after many people have rectified my chart and going from back and forth between the 1971 chart and the 1970 chart, everything pings on the 1970 chart.
I find this is so interesting because, as I've perhaps said in the past, that you're the only person I've ever met who didn't know what year you were born. I mean, generally people don't know what time they're born. They've got the date, but I found this mind-blowing at the time. So what have you done? You've cast the chart for your birthday on 70 and 71.
Yes.
And you're finding which one's working for you.
But the 1970 chart is
okay.
The one that goes ding, ding, ding for all the
right
life events that have happened.
So it actually fits with you. And so how did you determine this? Did you just attempt these charts differently? Or
I've asked numerous astrologers to actually rectify my chart.
Okay.
Going back and forth. And I even had a psychic ask about what chart it is. And after rectifying the chart myself as well, and I finally came to the conclusion that the 1970 chart is the one.
That's the one. And for those who don't know, rectification is what you do when you actually don't know what time or date or year you were born. And an astrologer would look at your life events to correlate them with the progressions or transits at the time or solar directions. So this is a very interesting thing that you have finally come to this rectified chart that fits you well, because I mean, I know you as a Leo rising person, there's no question, right? And I've often felt, as I said, that you're running the Libra style group, because that's what I see, that it's always calm and collected. There's no drama with you. So yeah, that is super interesting. That and it's crazy, isn't it? I mean,
who would have thought, right?
Who would have thought? Yeah. And I'm thinking, at the time when I heard it, which was probably, I don't know, 8 years ago, I thought, whoa, now there's a challenge.
Yes.
And we had it when I lived in Africa. We had it frequently with African people who didn't actually know what day they were born. They just knew it was spring of 62 or something. And you were fumbling to try and find these dates because nothing was written down and they were given birth to in a village somewhere, you know?
Exactly. It's the same thing. Even I was born in a hospital.
Oh, you'd have thought.
I would have thought. And I did try and contact the hospital, but
interesting.
They moved or the records were burnt or whatever, and this was at a new location. So all avenues kind of point towards astrology and rectification.
It's crazy that, and of course today that would never happen because people are there with their cell phones like, oh yeah, 11:52, yeah. And here's the picture. And you think, whoa, that's too much information.
Too much information.
Yeah, so no, it's very interesting that you've managed to overcome that. And how long did it take you through exploration to determine that this was the chart that was fitting you better?
It took me years.
Actually. Oh, did it? Okay.
But when I finally was comfortable with this chart, I was set and this is it.
Fantastic.
I think probably 3 to 5 years, I think, that I played between 1971 and 1970. But the 1970 has always been my go-to chart.
Right.
It's only when the doubts kind of rise and then the topic comes up again that I have to kind of explore it again and see.
It's okay. Such a fun story, right? It just shows you that even if you don't know, you can actually construct a chart that fits properly and you display clearly Leo. There's no question about it.
Well, my legally birth date is in 1970. So, like, you know, the 1971, when my mom told me, was totally out of left field.
Oh, my goodness. So
legalities, right? If your legal birthday is in 1970, I think that might have a play as well.
Yes. Birth time is given, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So interesting. Well, Sukhwinder, it's been so much fun having you here as our podcast guest. We are so happy that you came and we were able to explore further the Astrologer's Den, the group you're running here in Vancouver. And as I say, I will put the links to your website and to the email where people can get these downloads that you're offering. I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to come and share your astrology journey with us.
Thank you for having me as well, Alison.
Thank you. Thanks so much for getting this far through the episode. I just want to take a moment to tell you about the two main options of my astrology services. So the first one is coaching. If you are an aspiring astrologer, and by that I mean someone who's perhaps a hobbyist astrologer or someone who's learning astrology or a student, or you've got a few books and you've been doing it for a while, but perhaps you need a little bit of help to bring it all together, then maybe getting some astrological coaching from me would be the answer for you. The astrology coaching I offer is a one-hour session on Zoom, and it's tailored to answer your particular questions. For example, if you have issues with natal chart readings, we can go there. Or if you're having problems working with your forecasting, we can go there. Or even basic astrology stuff, or even getting yourself organized for your astrology business. The idea is that astrological coaching will answer your particular questions. It's tailored specifically to you and where you are in your astrological journey. And I'm happy to help you out with some guidance about how you can get going, what to focus on, and what to dismiss. So that would be the astrological coaching for people trying to learn astrology. The second astrological service I offer is consultations. So this is for someone who perhaps doesn't know anything about astrology, but they just want to have their chart read or get their chart done. Call it what you will. So once more, this is a one-hour consultation over Zoom. I will interpret your chart, tell you about the main features, tell you about where the energy is flowing, and all the rest of what is entailed in a thorough natal chart interpretation. I can also add in some forecasting in there too, bearing in mind we only have 1 hour. So just in summary, I've got coaching for people who want to learn astrology, and I've got consultations for those who want to get an astrology reading done. I'm Alison Price from starsology.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.